All right. Well, good afternoon again, everyone. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-19-172. It is 2:23 on Thursday, July 25th, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Chrisman. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I have no comments.
Commissioner Chrisman?
Nor do I, thank you.
This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant will go first, but before we do that, once again, let's go around the table and have staff and then company representatives introduce themselves.
Jerry Leon with staff.
Victor Shook with staff.
Ryan Long with Xcel Energy. Here in person on the phone, I have John Chow, Joni Zeke, Michelle McKnight, Gail Barranco, and Dave Cedarquist.
All right, thank you. It's all yours, Ryan.
Thank you. The final one up today is a refund associated with some settlement proceeds from General Electric in connection with the outage of Sherco 3 back in 2011. Back in 2011, Sherco 3 suffered extensive damage as a result of hidden fractures in the blade attachment. The plant was out of service for nearly 2 years. It was restored, I believe, in September of 2013 after a long restoration process. It's operated very well ever since, but the company incurred just about $238 million in restoration costs to bring that unit back online. I believe that's correct. $238 million. Leading up to the restoration and after the restoration, the company pursued claims, insurance claims against a number of its insurers for a number of years, ultimately collecting about $227 million in insurance proceeds from various insurance companies. We also filed a lawsuit against General Electric, which was the turbine manufacturer. We were joined by SMPA, which is a Southern Municipal Power Company that is a co-owner of Sherco 3, and we were also joined by our insurance companies who were seeking recovery from General Electric. That litigation lasted several years, I think approaching 4 years. Last September or October, right on the eve of trial, we settled with General Electric for a confidential amount of money that is available to the Commission in a trade secret filing. We determined at that time that we thought that settlement was in the best interest of our customers. We knew that there were certain legal challenges associated with the trial, also just risks associated with the jury trial in state court. And so came to the conclusion that the settlement was in the best interest of our customers. We were the only party to settle out of that lawsuit. Our insurers and SMPA, I believe, went to trial against GE, ultimately lost at trial, and that case is now on appeal. So we think the settlement should be judged on the basis of what we knew at the time, but we feel good about the fact that we didn't go through litigation and end up with a zero jury verdict. So all of those insurance companies that paid $227 million of insurance proceeds to the company have so far collected nothing against GE, but that appeal is going to go on for quite a while, I expect. The amount is confidential for that very reason. We were one party that settled in a lawsuit, so it was very important to GE in particular that the amount remain confidential because they were heading into trial against our insurers. So that complicates this one a little bit because we're not able to publicly disclose the amount of either the total settlement or the North Dakota jurisdictional amount. I can say that when you kind of go through the analysis of doing a per customer refund here in North Dakota, you get to between $2 and $3. So that will help a little bit on the public sphere to understand the scope of the refund. Our proposal here, I'm not sure the commission is going to like in light of discussion today, but our proposal was to refund it through the FCR. Go to the next slide here. The reasons for that are twofold. One, obviously, that's very efficient and quite quick. It allows us to pass the refund back to customers in a confidential manner because it gets netted against the fuel costs, and so you don't actually get those calculations. The alternative, though, I think, would be that if the commission is uncomfortable with this one-month calculation and passing it through the fuel clause rider, we could group it with the 9th and 10th DOE reimbursement in the second quarter of 2020 and do, you know, that would have the added benefit of making that refund even more meaningful because it would get a little bit larger for customers. We could explain to customers that it reflects the 9th and 10th DOE reimbursements in addition to a settlement with General Electric from the Sherco 3 outage. As I think about it, and I have heard the commission today, I might change our proposal if I could go back and rewrite our petition because I think that's a little more in line with what I heard from the commission today. And I think that that's a fairly workable solution that results in a fairly meaningful refund for customers.
So the main reason why you thought the fuel cost rider was the best tool was because of its anonymity, really.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what led us there. Other, you know, we did this as a standalone petition, didn't really necessarily see it marrying up so well with the 9th and 10th DOE proposal that we put in separately in the docket, and so saw a problem with doing a base refund as a standalone issue. But if we're able to group it up now, kind of given where we stand today, I think that makes a lot of sense.
And would it be complicated? Because this doesn't necessarily just apply to the customers in 17 and 18, right? There's really no customer base for this, or is there?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so since this happened in 2012, I think, 2012, 2013 time frame, you could make the argument that the increased costs to customers as a result of this plant being out would have been that time frame.
And is that the increased cost of buying market? And can you quantify that? Or?
Like, yeah. So we have quantified that. It's an estimate. It's based on a modeling exercise. You kind of model, assuming the plant had been available, it was about $45 million. Hmm. That's total company level. So if you do a North Dakota jurisdiction, it gets quite a bit smaller. So we did go back to that time period during the outage to calculate the North Dakota jurisdictional share. So we went back to that time period and used those jurisdictional allocators so that we're returning all of our jurisdictions the right amount of money given that that was the period that the costs were incurred. But we run into a problem that we discussed earlier. If you want to use that usage period for individual customer counts, now you're stepping back quite a bit in time and you're going to have a number of customers who just aren't here today. The proposal we've put forward, or that I'm kind of putting forward on the fly, would be to base that on customers who are on the system today, probably based on previous 12 months, just to get an accurate usage calculation. We don't have a problem with somebody leaving the state for a month and missing out on a significant refund.
Okay. And that can be a different group than the group that's used to calculate the nuclear stuff.
Well, as I'm proposing it, I think it would be the same group. I think it would be customers of record as of the day we pulled the trigger on the refund, or maybe, you know, a little lead time on that with 12 months prior usage. We could do it separately, but it would be separate refunds, separate base refunds at that point.
Okay. Given the uniqueness of this one and the confidentiality, I guess staff would be in support of a fuel clause rider. I mean, I generally dislike passing things through that because no, it takes a very large amount to be meaningful in there. You know, even if, let's say, you throw $1 million credit at it for a month, it really doesn't mean a lot.
Would you be supportive of this other idea, too, adding it to the...
Yes, if the commission would prefer to combine it with the 9th and 10th DOE payments, that's fine as well.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just unique. There's not a perfect way to do it. You know, certainly, well, the perfect way would be go back to that 12 and 13 time period where there was more cost to customers, but that's just not realistic.
And Ryan, remind me what you said about how the insurance proceeds were shared with customers.
The insurance proceeds, to a certain extent, I believe, directly funded some of the restoration activities, but then all insurance proceeds either funded the restoration activities or were passed back to customers, consistent with kind of what we're talking about here.
What years would that have been?
As we collected them over time, I believe. So it's some of them, I think, were collected pretty early on in the process. Some of the others that were a little more complicated and involved more conflict took longer.
So you're saying... something like what we're doing here where the commission approved it and then they went and they were Because I don't remember ever seeing this.
No. Here's the way I kind of look at it. So the last rate case Xcel Energy had in North Dakota was in 2013, when this, I think the case may have been done or close to it at the time that this incident happened.
Yes.
So the $238 million that Ryan referenced earlier had not been spent yet. So the company would not have been asking in rate base for any collection of that amount at that time.
And that's,
so all of those expenses have been incurred from then to 2013-14 time period, and the insurance proceeds should offset those investments so that we don't see that in future rate cases and rate base.
And that's, yeah, and that's a better way of saying kind of what I was talking about, directly funding them out of the insurance proceeds. That's right.
Because we've never seen a line item for the costs, the restoration costs either.
Correct.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
So if this were combined with the nuclear settlements, would that mean that customers would get less information about the nuclear settlements so that the litigants can't just get a customer bill and do the math and figure out what this litigation settlement was?
It would make it more challenging, I think, to understand what made up the 9th payment, what made up the 10th payment, and what made up the GE settlement amount. We could work on bill messaging, I think, to communicate some degree of scale there to give them a sense.
I think people are going to be able to approximate what this is anyway at the end of the day.
That's right. And I will say, with respect to the DOE reimbursements, that total amount is public. And so customers can go back and look and say that was $15 million total payment, $700,000 in North Dakota. I think the next one we're going to get is substantially larger than that because we just incurred more dry fuel storage costs last year. So I think the 10th payment is going to be upwards of $20 to $30 million total. And so the reality is the DOE reimbursements and those refunds are kind of going to swamp the GE settlement amount a little bit in that refund, but it does mean that the GE settlement amount won't. We might be able to put words around it to say, you know, a de minimis amount of your refund is associated with the GE settlement or a smaller portion.
Okay. Good question.
I will say I ordinarily would not like the FCR thing, but because of that confidentiality issue and the small amount that it is, I can see pros and cons on this, so I guess I don't have strong feelings which way we go about it. But I do have a different question based on the questions that I asked before about the percentage. The total and North Dakota's allocation of it are confidential. Can I say what? Do you object to me saying what the percentage of North Dakota's
no.
is? Okay. So in the first case that I asked about, it was just over 5%. And Dave explained that it's not the normal 6% because the Wisconsin area is also part of it. Is that Wisconsin area in this one too? Because this one comes to 5.38%. So it's less than the normal 6%, but it's more than that first case. And I'm just trying to understand why these are all different numbers. It seems kind of random.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, Commissioner, that I think these costs are allocated based on energy or sales for that period of time. And North Dakota tends to have a higher percentage of sales than they do demand. So where typically you might think 6% for the demand allocator, we're typically at 6.5% for sales. So that could be part of what's going on with the 5.3%.
And then it comes back down because that Wisconsin area is added in on this one too?
That I'm not sure. I wonder if maybe Gail could comment on that as part of this.
Because isn't that what you said, Dave, about why the first one, instead of being 6%, was only 5%?
Right.
I did find there's a footnote on that confidential file. It's footnote 2, and it does say it includes NSP Wisconsin retail sales.
Okay.
So then we would be seeing the percentage of being from 6.5 down to, you know, 5.3 or 5.4, yeah.
Any other questions on the Sherco?
All right. In the handout, as well as the audio recording of this proceeding, is now considered evidence. Is there any objection to this evidence becoming part of the official record upon which a decision will be made?
No objection from staff.
No objection from the company.
Is there anything else anyone would like to add? Then the evidence as presented will now become part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached. Is there anything else regarding this matter? Seeing none, this informal hearing is now closed. Thank you.